If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Stuff.biz.
Oh, you don't like interruptions. Well, this is a different kind of an interruption. This is a pre-recorded interruption to remind you that you wouldn't be hearing this interruption if you would actually pony up, support our work here at TRS, and buy a subscription to the show. It's only $10 a month, unless you're using, like, e-checks. Then there's some extra fees, because the e-checks fucking suck. Don't use those. The point is, we need your support. You can't use credit cards anymore. It's kind of a pain in the balls, but we still need you to help us out. And if you're enjoying the content, these silly commercials will go away. We won't bother you anymore if you just do. So go to therightstuff.biz/paywall, make an order. You can use Z-checks. You can mail in a money order. You can use a bunch of different cryptocurrencies, all which suck and are annoying, but we'll get it figured out. Or you can go to my Odyssey channel, Uncle Sven's Other Tone Stream, and you can... give me a donation there and send me a screenshot of the transaction. We'll get you figured out. So, yeah. I guess any second now we'll go back to the show. I don't know when, because I don't want these to be quick and predictable so that you can't just skip through them to make them go away. So this one's going to be a little extra long. But yeah, you need a subscription. You need a subscription. It's too early on the wrong morning for all that racket.
This is the good stuff. The right stuff.
The Daily Show.
We're here. It's just me and Alex. It's, I like that. Your face turns blue. That means you got content. Alex dropping links in the chat.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here looking at Yahoo. And
there you go.
Wow.
It's Thursday. For us, it's Thursday morning. For you, you're not hearing this till Friday out there. Just know it's Thursday morning at 9:30. I could get used to this. I could do the show at 9:30 every morning, but... Anyway.
Do you remember an Iranian chick stabbing somebody and saying it was over Soleimani? You remember that?
I vaguely remember that. She's not the girl that like killed herself in front of Twitter or YouTube or something. That's a different Iranian girl. I love Iranian girls now. If I was single, I would be like, send me all of your Iranian problem pussy right now.
It's all dangerous.
Not if you're a good anti-Semite.
No, I know of a third one who will remain nameless who's also dangerous.
Dang. Oh well.
And has stabbed somebody, I believe.
It was a fun theory. But hey.
So anyway,
I can walk by a single Iranian girl who's unlocked, no problem. Walk right by.
Texas woman who stabbed online date in Sin City revenge plot blames Hollywood actress.
You blamed who?
She blames an actress. She's blaming Selma Hayek from Dusk Till Dawn. She thought that she was Selma Hayek's vampire character from Dusk Till Dawn. I essentially looked in the mirror and I thought, this actress is hot. I was thinking I'm Selma Hayek from the Dusk Till Dawn movie, and I was hallucinating there was a snake around my shoulders. Nikubin, I guess that's her name, 23, told the New York Post in an interview published Tuesday.
Now, this is the girl she went on like an online date with a dude, and yep. Like, okay, I remember this story well. It doesn't sound like she's really blaming Selma Hayek. Like, everyone in the news media needs to be just like hanged, because it's like, you can't really blame Selma Hayek for anything. It doesn't sound like she's blaming Selma Hayek. She's blaming like Jewish Hollywood for like putting weird ideas in her head, which is something I totally agree with. As far as everyone in the world, at least everyone in this country, has really bad ideas in their head that wouldn't have ever been there if they hadn't seen them in some stupid kike movie. So the idea that I am Selma Hayek and Dusk Till Dawn, is that like a 25-30-year-old movie now at this point, isn't it? That's like,
oh, yeah, it is. It's so old now.
It's so cheesy and silly, but
I don't know.
Which is the vampire movie that has like Dennis Miller in it? It's not Dusk Till Dawn, right? No, that one has Quentin Tarantino in there. Does Quentin Tarantino say nigger in that movie?
No,
he likes to put himself in his own movies just to say nigger, and then he's like a totally anti-racist faggot fucking Chavoskoy when he does interviews.
The meme that goes around is the Quentin Tarantino cast Selma Hayek and then cast himself and then wrote a scene where she puts her foot in his mouth. That's the meme that goes around.
Oh, I forgot. Although, he's that kind of sicko. Because like I would have written a motorboat scene. What is so hard about that? What is so hard, Quentin, about being normal and just writing a motorboat scene for yourself and Selma Hayek? Like, why can't you just be a regular person? Oh, if you were a regular person, Hollywood wouldn't like arbitrarily decide that you're talented and have like vision. Like, yeah, his visions are like toes, like, dirty ass feet. Like, remember, did you see like what was that last movie he did, the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Yeah.
And I never noticed it the first time I watched it, but then someone reminded me. It's like, yeah, he has the hippie girl who hitchhikes and gets in Brad Pitt's car. She just puts her filthy, bare feet, mm-hmm. and she can walk around the streets of Los Angeles up on like the dashboard while they're driving. It's just like extreme close-up of just this filthy, fucking disgusting, just like street grime fucking hose. Ugh.
There was that other film, Kill Bill, where she's like talking about moving her big toe. Like she's got to like wiggle her toes.
See, I never actually watched those. I refused. Yeah. I was like, all right, I see what he's doing here. Like he's just stealing Bruce Lee shit and putting Uma in Bruce Lee's like jumpsuit. Like I'm just not going to do it. I never tried that one. And also that one looked like it was too mainstream, too popcorny. Was that movie even fucked up? Like it seemed like that was like Quentin Tarantino, I'm going to make a normal like crowd pleaser. So I also wasn't interested because of that. It's like, no, make me a challenge that people aren't going to like, Quentin. That's your bit. Tell me this.
Sort of a super violent.
It was violent, right?
Japanese okay. like action kind of film. I don't know. But...
So in a sense, it sucked, right? I mean, he's aping an action film style just with a big budget. Which just comes out exactly how you think. Like,
yeah, I'm not a big fan.
Yeah,
I've never been a big fan of those movies.
So yeah. Selma Hayek, I'm Selma Hayek in Dust Till Dawn, yeah. And I think there's a snake on my not boyfriend, just guy that I'm fucking that night.
No, she has the Selma Hayek is wearing the snake.
Oh, okay.
She comes out wearing the snake. The problem is Selma Hayek doesn't stab anybody in that movie. She's a vampire. She actually gets stabbed, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
Well, when does the hallucination justify the stabbing? That's what we're looking for, isn't it?
I don't think
the hallucination is like white Jamia Harada or whatever the word is. She's just like, the hallucination is I'm actually just an Iranian and I hate the pig American Empire, so you must die. Which is totally understandable. It's like I can't even argue with any of that. But Selma Hayek.
This article is kind of funny. Like who fucking wrote this shit? Who was the Michael Ruiz?
Ruiz.
Apparently, this guy, he loves this movie because he's like describing it in detail here. He's like, the man channeled his inner Seth Gecko, fought back, and survived. Gecko, played by George Clooney in the action flick, took out Hayek's villainous by shooting the rope on a chandelier above her.
God.
Thank you for the plot synopsis, bro.
What a fucking fag. It's like he wasn't even like nobody's even interested in this crime. He just wanted to fanboy about the movie.
Yeah, no, he's got no less than 3 photos of Selma Hayek in here. It's pretty cool. Let's see, she stopped taking her prescription medication and was drinking heavily at the time of the stabbing.
This is because of Selma Hayek. Selma Hayek's publicist or whatever, her agent, somebody who works for her should like get on the horn and get guy in trouble for like besmirching her good name like this.
In her post-interview, Nakubin said she made up the Soleimani story as she was imagining herself as Claire Danes' bipolar character Carrie from Showtime's Homeland TV series during which. How much TV does this bitch watch?
Well, this is sad. This is like America just like destroying the mind of a wonderful like Persian princess. You know, she should be the Soleimani was the good story. I don't want to hear about Claire Danes. What's next? Is she going to, like, I imagined I was Sandra Bullock on a public bus.
Nakubin plans to tell their side of the story in a newly published book in which she hopes to raise awareness about mental health issues.
Wait, so now the killer's written a book. All right, so we've got...
I don't think she killed anybody. Did the guy survive, right?
So, yeah, the guy survived. Right, but...
Yeah.
So the Berkowitz law, like, doesn't come into place here. But then also, like, I don't know. I want to... She's Iranian, so I want to hear her out, you know? Nobody gets slandered like Iranians for being like violent maniacs. They're just, you know, they're just Iranian. You just keep fucking with them. They just have balls. Hey, balls.
All right, I gotta find this. I should have done better prep on this. She's got a video.
Why would we do prep? We're doing a show on the wrong day, because the schedule is fucked up, and we don't want to abandon everybody the day before we absolutely abandon them with prejudice, which is, you know, Labor Day, where we won't be here. Proudly, I'm probably just gonna put up a rerun, and that's gonna be that, folks.
Fuck, where's... She's apparently got a channel, but I can't find it.
A channel? Like a YouTube channel? Well, we're now... I will become subscriber 2, 3, and 4. Between her and your old friend.
You know, this is what I hate. Like, this guy, he's going on about Selma Hayek. He's going on about the fucking movie and stuff. But he won't give me the link to this woman's YouTube channel? Like, I need to see this YouTube channel. It's apparently her talking about her autobiography and how she's going to write a book about being a crazy Persian who stabs people in hotel rooms.
So, but you use the...
This is pretty annoying, huh? All this can go away. You bought a paywall at writestuff.biz/paywall. You can use crypto, e-checks, mail in a money order, or even use your credit card on Sven's Odyssey channel. The link will be below in the show notes. That's the writestuff.biz/paywall.
Term published. Does this guy even have any facts? Is this shit being published? Like, why would anyone publish that book? Maybe, like, Animal Pills should publish it. I mean, she's got to be based. She can't be secretly based.
I think she's not so secretly crazy.
Oh, I forgot to open my notepad from the other day. So in case you have no idea what's going on, hour two, the chairman is with us. And we recorded it yesterday. We recorded it right after the infamous I Have a Cancer, a Boss episode. So, and we did some Holocaust denial content that actually, the article, we were trying not to news cuck Jamie, but we couldn't help it. So at holocaust.claims... there's going to be a story that we cover about a Holocaust brainwashing exhibit that was put up in a White Plains public school district somewhere. It was a lot of fun. So stay tuned for that. But right now we're just going to do basically, it's not slice of life. We're just literally just doing a friend simulation today. We're just here keeping you company. Because you deserve your content. Oh boy! Now you've got a YouTube video. Did you find her?
This is her interview with the police, which is pretty fucking funny.
I guess out of spite of revenge.
All right, let me.
This is just after the stabbing. This is post stabbing. Oh,
so this is like in the hotel. She's like, there's a.
She's clearly like wrapped in a sheet.
I fucking fixed this already. Oh yeah, she's like in like it's like post-coital, post-stabbing like haze.
No clothes. So she was naked, stabbing somebody.
Nice.
I guess out of spite of revenge.
What do you mean by that? Like why?
Just in general, like, I mean, the U.S. killed Soleimani. That's what blood spilled. So I feel like it's fair if an American. But I don't know. I just felt like somebody.
Yeah, it looks like you got some blood on your arm right there.
Yeah, she's all blooded up.
Like, should die.
Iranian-born Nika Nikubin, 22, calmly confessed to stabbing a man she met on a dating app. In this chilling police body camera footage obtained by KLAS in Las Vegas, in the shocking... Hey, I have that kind of knife. That's
it's one of those steak knives.
That's like, that's my cheap, that's one of my cheap extra steak knives. In the shocking clip, she admits to stabbing an online date while he was blindfolded and they were having sex. And they're soulmate. As revenge, the U.S. 2020 U.S. drone strike in Iraq that killed Iranian General Qasem Soleimani. Nikubin was charged with attempted murder.
Murder.
Two counts of battery.
I guess, out of spite of revenge.
Well, there you go. It's always good. It's always good to not just confess to the police, to the arresting officers, but also tell them what your motive was.
Right. You want to do that. Don't forget. Don't forget your motive.
For this trick to work, for you to do that and get away with it, you have to be a nigger. We only have a catch and release program for niggers. Like we, you know, if they wander into a residential area and they start like knocking over trash cans and hurting people, the police come and grab him. They throw him back in the woods where he's supposed to be. Oh wait, no, that's like bears.
Well, what they sometimes do with bears, they take them to another area and release them. I do that where I live. The bears in Roanoke get bust up here and released, which is why we have so many goddamn bears.
Hey, bears.
Anyway.
Wow. Anyway.
It's kind of disappointing that it sounded like there was a political motive. A political motive people could probably sympathize with, but no, just crazy Iranian bitch.
Oh, here's the... I'm looking at the comments. Here's the usual, like... the Zog enjoyer who's like trying to console himself. Reasonably speaking, it's quite surprising for an attack like this to be pro-Iran motivated. Almost every Iranian there is, local or expat, disapproves of their government.
Oh, come on!
Now, expat, there's probably a large number, but the locals, that's Zog propaganda. And you are living in... You need to live under that illusion so that if and when Zog decides to make a big move against Iran, there's like existing justifications for it. They do not disapprove of their government. Their government was revolutionary. It kicked out Zog. It kicked out the Soviets. And it's telling us to go fuck ourselves ever since. And if Zog could just log off Telegram and just not pay attention to Iran anymore, they would never have another fight with them. But they can't stop reading Iran's channel. So they keep like it lives in Zog's head rent free, since Zog's job is to defend Israel. So you're constantly just engaging in this low level back and forth where like really you have no reason to have a conflict with Iran. Imagine like I can't imagine being like the one thing that gets me about like the what does Zog mean? Zionist occupied government. We're an occupied government. We're an occupied empire that's run in the interest of international Zionism. The big thing we hate Iran for in Zog is that they're trying to develop a nuclear weapon. We don't want them to have a nuclear weapon because they will strap my body to a bomb and drop me on Tel Aviv. I'm ready. Like, that's because they think that's exactly what's going to... And wouldn't that be a relief? Like, it might be extremely painful, and it sucks that you're going to have bases in the area, but if Iran nuked the force that's occupying your like government, wouldn't you feel like, oh, I'm free, I can breathe again?
You know what?
Like, why not just let it happen?
The other thing is, there would be less Jewish mouths to feed.
Yeah, but I just mean if their homeland is destroyed, I guess there would be Jews left here. But like, what do you do?
Man, it's sort of an objective question here. Like, there's more Arabs than Jews, so if the Jews there were obliterated by nuclear weapons, and then all conflict stops,
they would all be martyrs.
Well, but still, like, is that not the better outcome from like a strictly utilitarian perspective, right? I'm doing utilitarianism.
Yeah. Well, just from like, I just can imagine, like are the Shabbos Goy that run Zog at the behest of their Jewish masters, are they that compartmentalized, they don't feel the shame of what they're doing? Do they not know what they're doing? Like, I think about this General Milley and the dumb shit that he says in press conferences. It's like, do you really think those things? Are you really this much of a touchy-feely faggot about diversity? Do you really? I mean, anyone arguing in favor of, like, why we have to fight back against, like, Russia, it's just like, I don't think you believe any of this stuff. And if you know the score, then you know about like the business interests and whatnot, the energy interests. Like, are you really that, like, you really gung-ho about that kind of bullshit? It's like, I can imagine that, like, this is just my job and I'm doing what the boss says. Wouldn't be neat if the boss was gone, you don't have to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows?
Yeah, I was having this thought whenever I was listening to some Oliver Anthony stuff where he's being like doing his little video. And
yeah, that guy's really smart. He says really intelligent things.
Yeah, and he's talking about, you know, diversity being a strength and all of that. And he's also trying to like take this anti-elitist posture.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, but you're just like repeating like the central tenet of this globo homo, like elitist cabal, that diversity is wonderful. You know, mm-hmm. It's really good. I'm going to pat myself on the back because I also love diversity and I think it's really wonderful too. Look how good I am. I'm a good person. I'm a good person. Unlike those politicians trying to divide us. It's like, but are you just uncritically repeating this kind of shit? Like,
oh no,
do you believe this? I think they do believe it, though. I think that this is a moral value for them. It seems to be, like, they voluntarily talk about it all the time. I don't know. I'm
leaving a comment.
I just heard about her sentence. She was handled with kitty gloves. Any other race of woman,
black,
would have gotten the book thrown at her.
I was like, what are you, crazy? A nigger wouldn't even, they wouldn't even arrest her.
I mean, as far as nigger crimes go, this is pretty mild. Nobody was even killed.
It's actually, it is true what I just wrote in this comment. It's true. Like, a black woman would have been arrested. There would have probably been no bail. And the charges would have just been dropped by the DA or whatever. The prosecutor would have just been like, yeah, we're just not going to bother with that. Oh, nobody died. Is he okay? Is the guy, the stab guy? Okay. Well, we don't have time for this, and we're trying to create an anarcho, what is that word? Anarcho tyrannical, like, hellhole here.
Right. You're going to juke the black crime stats. Get
like
out of here.
Like, the problem with her, like, if not for the Soleimani, see, if she had been just, like, totally erratic in the hallway, yelling and screaming, my baby, and, like, acting like she was, you know, that's how you get away with it, be a nigger. But the fact, the Soleimani thing is the only reason this made the news. The only reason you got a sentence at all. Crazy.
Hey, it's your worst possible nightmare. It's the sound of Borzoi interrupting whatever wonderful talking point Mike is making right now, interrupting your own train of thought. And you're in this position, listening to me right now, well, because you're listening to the free version of this show. You're not even getting all the content, and now you have to listen to me. Is this what you want? Is it really? You want to hear this? You want to hear me? That just can't possibly be what you want. So if you want to rectify that issue, go to therightstuff.biz/paywall. You can make one-time donations and get 3 months, 6 months, even a year. So why are you doing this to yourself? This has to be especially troubling because I'm not even going to check the audio and how this sounds. So you could also be listening to just terrible audio right now. So why not just stop doing this to yourself and get behind the paywall at therightstuff.biz/paywall.
I just hate seeing, like, the, Hey, I'm Iranian, we're happy Soleimani was demolished. Please know we are very sorry for this incident, and please know that these Islamic government people are not the people of Iran. I want to write, like, glory to the Ayatollah, but I don't know what, like, the traditional, thing is to say, like, how do you tell a faggot like that you love Iran more than he does? So I have this other really dumb thing in my email. Let's see, how can I bring this up on screen without, like, I guess I can't. I have this wall text in my email. Occasionally we still get communication from sort of, like, botting and spam that is related to Trump stuff and Republican stuff. Like, they don't understand, like Q-tard stuff. Like, the last one I got was someone was trying to tell me that Joe Biden was sort of using the Taiwan crisis and the chip embargo, but what do? We reshored some chip manufacturing, at least we're starting the process of that. And then there was a bunch of, like, Taiwanese, like, bragging about moving to the U.S. to take white brides. And I'm just like,
what?
Yeah. Well, it's just, I'm just sitting here like, nigga, I don't fucking care. And also, the focus of that email was about the 2024 election. I'm just like, I just don't give a fuck. Like, I hope Biden wins. Like, I don't care. Like, come at me with something for real. All this stuff means nothing to me. This, like, partisan politics stuff. It, like, literally just means, like, I don't want to discuss it. I just don't care. In that respect, it means nothing to me. And several follow-up emails. I'm waiting for your ex. I'm not responding. I don't care. So I've got this one called Mugshot for War. Who is this from? The irony is Mugshot for War. So it's obviously the war is in the U.S. and the mugshot is that of Donald Trump's. And this is coming from an email that has a co.uk domain extension to it, so you're not
even, oh Oh, now that makes sense. That makes sense. I've found that people in the UK, they follow American politics very closely over there for some reason.
You know what? This has a copyright on it. So is this like an actual thing someone, or is this like stolen content? James Montgomery Flagg was an American writer and illustrator. His most famous work, known and imitated through the world, was a 1917 poster of Uncle Sam created for United States Army recruitment during World War I. I think we've all seen that one. Uncle Sam, the national personification of the American faggot nation. I'm sorry, I was editorializing. The American government and American patriotic, being a mark. Uncle Sam, an image named for one Samuel Wilson, a simple meat packer from Troy, New York. Oh, up in Troy. First referenced in an 1816 allegorical book, The Adventures of Uncle Sam, in search after his lost honor by Frederick Augustus Fidfatty. Man, how do names like that just pass into history? Fidfatty, that's great.
Fidfatty?
Frederick Augustus, Fidfaddy.
What about Fedfatty?
Why aren't they? Yeah, Fedfatty. Why aren't there any Fedfatties around by name? On August 24th...
I mean, I just see a lot of Fedfatties, but they don't have that last name.
Right. On August... Well, now they're you see a lot of Fed Furries. That's the name they need. On August 24th, 2023, an image was released after an arrest made in a jail in Fulton County, Georgia. Yeah, we all know. I love all the preamble. Like, we don't know what the fuck the mugshot is, right? What does he mean? Among civilized America... Huh?
Didn't they arrest the Martin Luther King there? Isn't that the thing everybody likes to bring up?
I don't know.
I swear to God, I saw somebody like trying to like connect these dots. Like Martin Luther King was arrested there. Inmate died there recently. And
well, Fulton, yeah, that's just where Atlanta is, right? You just arrest a lot of people there because it's a crime-ridden fucking hellhole. Among civilized Americans dedicated to defending the Constitution, this image has served to recruit them to a cause, to the holiest cause imaginable. The cause of war against the regime who created it. So it's treason, is it? The image has been effective as the iconic image of Uncle Sam, employed a maximum effect by James Montgomery Flagg, and has served as a clarion call for revolution necessary to remove the regime. Again, calling for revolution from a different country. Very brave. The image is a mugshot taken of Donald Trump, 45th president of the United States, after being charged with 41 counts of conspiring to unlawfully change in Georgia, the state of Georgia versus Donald Trump. A 100-page document charging Trump and 19 other people with exercising their First Amendment rights to engage in political speech and seek redress of grievances in a case whose backstory comprises a bill. That all doesn't hit the way it should because of the fact that, like, he just used Stop the Steal to, like, grift and get more money. And never actually tried to overturn anything. So it's kind of like, it's almost bittersweet. Like, as unjust as it is, like, technically, I kind of enjoy the fact that I hope these people all actually end up in jail.
Okay, I knew that I was not hallucinating this. Yes, conservatives were talking about how there's parallels between this and Martin Luther King.
Okay.
And trying to, like, connect these two in people's minds. So here's a tweet with somebody talking about it.
Fox News host compares Donald Trump's mugshot to MLK's mugshot, an image of defiance. Jesus. And who is this pencil neck twerp that's appropriating Dr. King?
I will say, to Jesse's point, when it comes to the mugshot, you know, there are kind of two different types of mugshots that go out there in the world. There's the Tiger Woods, Bill Cosby, pathetic figure mugshot.
I mean, the guy that's, like, doing drugs and actual crimes that the media is going to sweep for.
And then there's the mugshots that you see of people like Frank Sinatra when he was young, or Janis Joplin. And these...
Oh, that's two people you should really admire. I really admire Frank Sinatra. I love Jewish bagman Frank Sinatra, and I love, like, drugged-out fucking fellow, 28-year-old drug suicide Janis Joplin. Or whatever the hell she... Is she the one that choked on a ham sandwich? No, that's Mama Cass. What killed Janis Joplin? Was it alcohol?
I was most positive it was some kind of drug overdose, I thought.
I know it was drugs or alcohol.
You think it was alcohol intoxication?
I don't know. It seems like drugs weren't as advanced back then. Because I know Hendrix was alcohol, right? I mean, you had a lot of these hippie musicians would, like, vomit in their sleep.
Yeah, I was right.
Was it heroin?
Yeah, heroin overdose.
Wow, that's
the
advanced.
Itch, yep. She went out like Wayne Staley.
I imagine, what was that, 1969, 1968?
1970s when she died.
I guess, like, 19... how hard did you have to try in order to overdose on heroin back then? I feel like if you gave a heroin user, like, these days, like heroin from the 70s, they'd be like, what was that? What was that cut with? This isn't working.
Mugshots, which include people like MLK. These project a different image, not sad and pathetic, but an image of defiance. And I think that what you're seeing right there is defiance.
You mean these mugshots share being like some kind of propaganda gay op?
Defiance. And that's the exact message.
Hold on, I got a little bit of a different take here.
Okay.
When I look at this image here and what Donald Trump is trying to convey, what it speaks to me is feral nigger. Like, okay. This is kind of like a feral nigger.
Well, he's trying to
like,
look,
he looks like he might just attack someone randomly.
He's trying to look extremely angry, and I mean, I don't know how they allowed him to like tilt his head. Usually a mugshot is like you're back and you're straight up and everyone looks like shit like that. But he did the thing where he got a MySpace angle in his mugshot. That's difficult.
Maybe he just like kind of tucked his chin and like backed it up.
Yeah,
he just
took his head down a little bit and allowed that shadow, because generally that big shadow on half his face, they don't want that because they want a mugshot of what you fucking look like. So it's just all gay.
Trump wants to convey, because this is defiance in his estimation and his supporters and for much of America against a broken system.
I just can't muster up any like emotion for. I can't muster up any sympathy for him. Like, I can't even get outraged about how blatantly political and partisan it is, because like that's what you asked for. That's the game it turns out that's the game Trump wanted to play. When Trump started his campaign in 2015 and 2016, and he made use of all the basically white nationalist rhetoric that was supposed to be out of bounds, he didn't do that because he wanted to do anything for white people. He did that because he wanted to win the partisan politics war and basically move on to his next stage of celebrity, which was president of the United States. So now that you're getting it back, now that they're pretending like that you're a criminal gang and that you need to be broken up with RICO statutes, like, I'm just like, whatever. I don't even give a fuck. I think it's funny. It's like, you deserve it. Especially because, as I said before, you weren't actually fighting against what they did. If you really think the election was stolen, why are you just collecting money and then filing bullshit legal briefs that are designed to just fail?
I think that we need to reform the criminal justice system, because, yeah, mugshots are done intentionally to kind of humiliate people, make them look bad.
Yeah.
And that's bullshit. That's actually wrong. They should be forced to use proper lighting. There should be a fill light, fusion light. They
filters.
Should have a key light. They should have a makeup person assigned there to make sure that you look good. It should be done to the point that if you need a headshot for like your portfolio, just go commit a petty crime so you get booked.
Huh.
That's how good the photography should be.
Has there been any reporting for how this? Oh, hi, guys. Here's another pre-recorded interruption. Not an actual interruption. I'm just here to remind you, we need you to go ahead and pick up a subscription at therightstuff.biz/paywall. You can use money orders. You can use crypto. You can use e-checks. You can even go to my Odyssey channel, Uncle Spen's Other Tone Stream, and you can use your credit card on there to get around the Jews' banishment of our banking services. That works. So you can do that until you can't. I don't know. But thanks. We'll be right back to the show now. This photo shoot went. Like, was he mogging the person doing it? Is this you know what it is? It is. It's possible that the guy tasked with doing the mugshot was a Trump supporter. You know, like just because the regime wants this arrest to go down doesn't mean like your local like police department is a bunch of like shit libs that hate Donald Trump. It could be the opposite.
Yeah, because like you said, he's got the split lighting on the face.
Yeah.
So clearly somebody let him get away with doing that.
Yeah, he got to look intimidating, but not in a, you know. It is very nigger. You are right. It is nigger energy. I mean, that is like a very nigger. So
big nigger.
Big nigger energy.
Make American nigger again.
Wow. What do you mean? That's long been fucking established. So let's see. I'm going to go back to this crazy email. The big steal is in Georgia. I'm sorry. The big steal in Georgia. The 2020 presidential election was stolen in Georgia with ballot drop-off boxes clothed in darkness and stuffed with thousands of votes for Joe Biden. Citation, please. It was stolen with ballots harvested in nursing homes manufacturing thousands of votes for Joe Biden. It was stolen in election stations controlled by Democrats who excluded independent poll watchers and counted thousands of fraudulent votes for Joe Biden. For those of us who live here in Georgia, there was a palpable feeling that something was wrong. This was the first election where we had ballot drop-off boxes spread all over with nobody keeping an eye on them. There were daily reports of ballot harvesting in nursing homes. Again, all of this rings hollow because one of Donald Trump's 2016 campaign promises was a massive election reform that was supposed to make stuff like this impossible. He followed through on none of it. If Donald Trump had listened to, what was it, Chris Kobach, I believe his name was, Georgia's like voter registration would have been totally fucking deleted and started over. And it would have been a lot more stringent.
I believe my take whenever this was being discussed years ago was that people, even if the election was stolen, no one really cares because Trump is a bloviating, spineless retard.
Right.
So it's like, well, you deserve to have the shit stolen from you, moron. You want me to be like outraged on your behalf?
I'm not outraged. I laugh. I think it's funny. Actually, I don't even think the election was stolen. I think he was stolen. But I saw a tweet yesterday. When we were doing the show, I didn't, you know, it was a little bit off topic, so I didn't bother. But it was Ann Coulter was retweeting somebody, or Ann Coulter was responding to something. I don't even remember if it was Ann Coulter saying this or someone she was retweeting, just putting out there. But the sentiment is totally true. It's like, you know, if Donald Trump can gain like 10% of the black vote, that's wonderful and all. But if he loses 2% of whites, he's finished.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 100% true. And I believe at the very least, that's what he lost. He lost it by breaking promises. So I don't like, this is why I've always been like, I don't care about Stop the Steal, because he deserved to lose because he broke every promise of his campaign that was important. He welched on.
Yeah. Someone that knows a bit about this stuff was saying that one of the factors is that he lost the, like the middle class white woman vote because they just wanted this stuff to stop.
How much did he lose in the Rust Belt? Like, what are those like Rust Belt states? He barely won Wisconsin. Did he win Michigan, or am I like making that up in my head?
I don't know. I don't really feel like doing like an examination of that, like an autopsy of
Michigan 2016 presidential. I mean, because Michigan would be a great fucking example of. I'm not misremembering, right? Yeah, Donald Trump won it by not a lot of votes. Michigan is a great example of, like, here's a state that was a manufacturing powerhouse and now is a hollowed out nigger hellhole, and you were engaging in rhetoric that you were going to reshore manufacturing. Now Michigan is a place that, you know, some place that could use like have its manufacturing reinstalled.
Mm.
So at the promise of that, you barely won that state, and then when you didn't follow through on any of this, you lost it. And I don't see any reason why. I don't see any reason why he would carry Michigan in 2024. I don't think like the election was stolen from me is going to make Michigan come back out to the polls and give him a narrow. Was it even a 1% victory?
God,
no, it was. He won it. It was 40. He won 47.2% of the vote. Hillary won 47%. So you're talking 0.2% was the fucking difference there. For 16 electoral votes. He's never going to win that state ever again. It's like, you can tell all the stories you want about Joe Biden and China and Hunter Biden's crack pipe in his dick, and you can tell all the stories you want about, I don't know, just pick your stupid mainstream media, like, back and forth slap fight. You're not winning Michigan ever again, Donald.
I mean, do people think that the moral outrage matters at this point? This is America. This place is morally repugnant on every single level. Every politician is, we just accept that they're all doing fucked up shit constantly.
But just specifically what Donald Trump did with Stop the Steal. Okay, you didn't lose Michigan because of stolen votes. You lost Michigan because people were like, oh, this guy's full of shit. I'm staying home.
Mm-hmm.
The guys who stay home, the guys who stayed home are not going to be convinced to come back and vote by the argument that the election was stolen when they're like, what? Because they know. Like, oh, I stayed home. Whether it was suburban cat lady moms, like you said, or whoever, or just like guys that want factory jobs, the white working class, somebody stayed home in the next election. I haven't even heard anybody. Has anyone even wandered anywhere near the idea that Michigan and Wisconsin were lost due to fucking fraud? I've never heard that. I've heard Nevada.
No, I don't think so.
Nevada, Georgia, and possibly Pennsylvania. In Pennsylvania, it was like localized to Philadelphia.
And Georgia, because it's full of niggers, and it's like, okay, yeah, I could buy that. I could buy that there was some fraud in Georgia, right. just due to the sheer numbers of niggers involved in like local and state government there.
Same with Philadelphia, also, or just Pennsylvania as a whole. Also, Pennsylvania, like its Trump leaning population is thinning, is aging, and more and more like overflow people from, like libtards from New York and New Jersey move here. God knows how it is in the western part of the state. I don't really know. I don't know if like, I don't know if a lot of Ohioans move into it. But anyway, it's like a Jewish control. So like, you're not winning it again. You're not winning it again.
Yeah, and I did think it was kind of funny, too, that the DA, that of course, that's going after Trump is a Negress, and then there's another DA that's going after Elon Musk, another Negress.
Right.
Like, this country is like turning into South Africa, but with more Jewish oversight.
Here we go. There were mysterious water leaks where the votes were being counted. Poll watchers were reported lack of access to the count, and the counting seemed to stop and start for no apparent note. This person's talking about Georgia. The mysterious water leaks were in Philadelphia. There was a water main emergency, and they stopped counting for about 12 hours. I remember that. I remember being like, that's probably so they can do some fraud. Cynics suspected the causes were meant to figure out how many votes were still needed for Joe Biden to carry Georgia. I remember that being Pennsylvania. Georgia's Trump indictment, da da da. Philip Holloway.
Yeah, I was asking my expert over here. We should just bring him on the show. He's available. He said Trump won 55% of white women, but thinks that it was weighed heavily rural and poor.
I'm sorry, who is this? I was reading ahead of this stupid email.
Carlson.
Was it Carlson? We bring him on? He's available?
Yeah, he's... Well, let me ask him.
That fucking nigger's available? He's not sliding into my DMs? Like, hey, I'm available. Anyway, I'm trying to see if there's fucking anything actually in this goddamn email that's actually exciting. I mean, sure, there's stuff to argue with, but this is, like, pretty gay. The 2020 presidential election was stolen in Georgia with mobile telephones manufacturing thousands of votes for Biden. It was stolen with voter drop boxes, which surveillance footage and a chain of custody documents reveal were stuffed with thousands for Joe Biden. So this is... He's like quoting things, but I can't go read them for myself. True votes, preliminary data analysis. What is true the vote? As presented here, is this just like a group that wants Trump to be won? Or Trump to win. As presented to your office in April 2021, provided evidence that 279 cell phones had made multiple trips within 100% of a drop box during 2020 general elections and U.S. Senate runoff periods. Despite characterizing the data as curious, GBI, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, ooh, they have their own BI, claimed such evidence would not rise to the level of probable cause. Fourth,
yeah, he's available. He can jump in.
Ooh, all right, let's see.
You said one sec.
I'm pretty sure I have him in my little... Oh, God. Are you, like, fucking have a sneezing attack? Is that what you
can... Yeah. Well, stop it. It's like fall is finally almost starting to come. Like, we're starting to get a little bit of that, Indian summer, which I like.
It's chilly today, and I'm not looking forward to the end of big summer energy.
I don't know why I'm so tired of summer, though, because I've had years where I've, like, rode my bike way more than I have this year and just been sick of it by, like, end of August. This time I haven't really rode my bike that much, but it's just been... sweltering and hot and just nasty, and I'm like, I'm ready for fall. Where's fucking fall? I want to watch horror movies and I want to drink some pumpkin ale.
If you're hearing my voice right now, something has gone terribly, terribly wrong. Unless this is just how you want to live, who am I to tell people to stop listening to free content that's constantly interrupted, that has to deal with my voice and whatever audio quality this is going to come out in? Who am I to tell people that they should be getting behind the paywall at therightstuff.biz/paywall? Especially if they're not white, which I assume that's what you probably are if you're hearing my voice right now. That's just my assumption. I could be wrong, but I mean, if you're not white, legally you do have to tell me that you're not white. I told Sven that I'd record some commercials for him, and at first I thought I was going to put some effort into it, but then I realized, why don't I just ramble in the dumbest way possible and force you to listen to it? Because that's what you're doing right now. You are listening to this. Mike was probably saying something very interesting, something very insightful, and now you're listening to me. Is this really what you want? Is this how you want to live? Do you want to be non-white? Because again, I just assume that's what you are. You could always fix that. You could rectify this problem by going to therightstuff.biz/paywall and getting yourself a subscription, and then you'll never have to hear me again, you know, unless I'm filling it or something.
And I want to put up Halloween lights.
I look forward to not being allowed to be outside anymore.
Oh, God!
You know what else I look forward to? I look forward to the fucking insects dying.
Yeah, right. Is this James Carlson?
I can't step on my porch without getting attacked.
James Carlson.
Yes, it is. Oh, God.
You're in the oven. Welcome to the Daily Shower.
I'm in the oven.
We were talking about. I have a glorious Stop the Steal Boomer conspiracy email that I've been reading. And,
oh, man.
And Alex ruined it by bringing up like poll numbers and percentages. We're like, well, we need white papers then. Because he doesn't speak in words. He only speaks in percentages.
This is true.
So we were looking for your input on the 2020 election. Where was Donald Trump's like loss of support as far as your work?
Where did it all go wrong?
Where did it all go wrong?
I mean, the largest dip was white men, working class white men.
No.
Now there was a
he alienated yeah, them.
Yeah, I know, right? Kind of unbelievable.
Oh.
The biggest dip was working class white men. Now he did have a dip with middle class or your suburban mom housewives, but he still sure. won 55% of white women.
Right. Well, I just said this on the show before you came on. I saw a tweet exchange Ann Coulter was engaged in. I can't remember if she said this or her interlocutor said, but the sentiment was like it would be nice for Donald Trump to gain like 10% of the black vote, but if he loses 2% of the white vote, he's finished. And I don't think these Stop the Steal people realize that, and they don't want to tell the story that you just mentioned that yeah, you lost a couple percentage points of these classes of people, and that's your core. And that's why it's not real. I mean, I don't know where you stand on like election fucking theft. I know there's some people that try to have like a really fair and like deep analysis of 2020. Well, it was kind of stolen, but not. Whereas I like to just mog people. Like, no, he just lost. Fuck you.
It's funny you mention Ann Coulter. I take what is essentially her take right from the start, which is there are irregularities and cheating in every election,
right.
But they did not do any sort of deliberate, manipulative, sort of unique fuckery to screw Donald Trump. Donald okay. Trump governed like a moron. You know, he told the people in Jamestown, Ohio, not to sell their homes.
Oh, yeah.
And then GM pulled out. I mean, hell, I'm from Michigan. GM closed a plant in Michigan. It closed two in Ohio. I'm pretty sure it closed. Oh, well, that was in Canada. It closed one in Ontario. We don't care about Canada. It closed three plants in the Midwest.
Yeah.
It closed three plants in the middle of his administration. And what did he do? He sent out a tweet. He tweeted.
Or do you know what? Him and Elon Musk have a lot in common.
You know, without the Midwest working class, you just can't do anything.
No, you really can't.
I'm gonna renaming it the Fudge Round Belt. You can't. If you lose the Fudge Round
Don't
Belt,
don't get me started. Oh, I can't stand that line of that fucking song. Oh God, Sven, damn you! the scourge of our time, government funded fudge rounds.
It's like government cheese, fudge rounds.
So, once again, in the interest of repeating the show that we just did for James Carlson. I was just talking about, you know, the Stop the Steal people. They tend to forget like what an upset 2016 was in two states, Wisconsin and Michigan, your home state there, where I was just looking at the numbers, by the numbers. This was a 0.2% victory for Trump in Michigan.
Oh, yeah, it was a razor thin margin. And, you know, my personal opinion is that the only reason he won is because people hated Hillary Clinton so much.
Okay. You don't think it was because he was promising to do the opposite of allowing GM to close plants?
I mean, that was a factor in motivating certain groups of people, but, you know, okay. here's a great statistic I love. About 12.5% of people who primaried for Bernie Sanders, I primaried for Bernie Sanders in 2016, voted for Donald Trump. And the highest percentage of those people were in Rust Belt Midwestern states. People liked populism and hated Hillary Clinton.
Right. Because what's Hillary Clinton's position on domestic manufacturing? Like it's inefficient, and it's bad, and just you know deliver pizza, work for
yeah. Uber. All of you people, shut up. Do a service job. Live paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
Free trade is the most amazing thing ever.
Yeah. And so I just part of what I thought was like a sense of like Donald Trump was against this. It was supposed to be the opposite, and he didn't deliver. And so I was saying to Alex, like if if you stayed home or you didn't vote Trump in 2020, and you're, because you're in Michigan, because you saw this happen, like, the rhetoric that the election was actually stolen isn't going to motivate you to go to the polls for him, go pull the lever for him in 2024, because you still remember a broken promise in that such, or you're not excited by, what do we got here?
All right. So what I wanted to mention, because James is talking about people something having shiny. A lot of animosity towards Hillary Clinton. Yeah. I was on a bike ride. I was on a bike ride and I had to stop and take a photo of this shit. This is something that was going on in the 2016 election. Just look at it, like zoom in.
I'm trying to
if you can zoom in, if you can like really blow it up.
Got it right here.
Now,
so you got Trump Pence signs.
Do you see what's going on with the statue over here?
Whose head is on the pike?
Hillary Clinton.
Oh, okay.
And the statue is actually wearing a Trump mask.
Oh. Like, what is this? Is this some, like, ornery Indian, like, stabbing white people? Like, what is the statue? Like, what is the statue actually?
The statue is, like, Calvary or something.
Okay.
It's been there forever, right?
Okay.
I've seen that statue for years. During the election, this guy put fucking Hillary Clinton's head on the spear and put a Donald Trump mask on the Calvary officer or whoever's riding this thing. I guess he's got a shield, too. Maybe it's, like, a Roman legion. I don't fucking know. Roman Calvary, who fucking knows? But anyway.
I can't stress how much people hated.
Sure. Oh, I know. Yes,
his promises made a difference. I'm not denying that. But Hillary hate was a big motivator for some people.
Yes, Hillary had. Hillary is like, well, Trump is Hillary now. He's the same thing, except for the other party. He is somebody.
He became Hillary Clinton, yeah.
He is somebody that has probably more, or at least as much negatives as he has positives. Like, usually you've got politicians that have like a, you know, they have negatives, but they'll have some negatives, but mostly it's about how much positives do you have. And you're kind of like, when your positives and your negatives start to hit like parity, you're kind of fucking done. And that's where he is now, where he has been.
Yeah,
for
I mean,
years.
When I talk to the sort of 55 and up crowd in my life, family members, people, you know, acquaintances, whatever, in Michigan, the response is, you know, I'm kind of over Trump, kind of sick of him, kind of wish he'd go away.
Yeah.
There was initially some enthusiasm for Ron DeSantis. My grandfather's a good example of that. But now when no one talks about Ron DeSantis at all, no one likes him. Ron DeSantis has the impression of a wet napkin on a hot day.
Yeah, that was a failure. I remember last year, my dad said he was kind of like, oh, this DeSantis guy like might look like he's okay. And this time he told me that he thinks this Ramaswamy guy has interesting things to say. They're exciting. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Vivek was the only one who did good in the debate.
Yeah. I don't even
know. What's really interesting, though, is I noticed this. I sent a message to Stryker this morning because I had picked up on this in my YouTube feed. All of the populist left-wing YouTubers, Kyle Kulinski, the Young Turks, all those people.
Mm-hmm.
They're all doing like 5 episodes a day of Vivek Ramaswamy hate. They're not hating on, you know, your traditional conservatives. You know, these are people who apparently don't like war and foreign intervention, but they're all hating on Vivek Ramaswamy. It's kind of amazing.
Do they not like war and intervention? I mean, what is Chink Wigger a big like hands off Ukraine guy? Like, I just don't see that.
Well, see, I don't know what his Ukraine take is because I don't follow them regularly.
Okay, yeah, I don't either.
I mean, they used to be massive anti-war people. Right.
Well, because the wars used to be Republican or whatever.
But this is true. That is important to remember. the Ukraine war is a war for the liberation of trannies.
The thing that was funny is, like, for some reason, Obama got to slide on the GWAT as if he wasn't participating. Now, I guess it ramped down a little bit, but it's not like did we occupy like Iraq and Afghanistan like less, I guess slightly less intensively than we did, but like George W. Bush was the process of breaking it, and Obama.
I don't know.
Was
I mean,
the process
Obama
of
was the
it.
Drone murderer.
Yeah,
he seems Obama was the guy who mm-hmm. who went yep. full bore, yeah. just absolutely crazy with blowing up massive groups of people with drones. I mean, yeah. America literally. Targeted back.
Well, this is pretty annoying. You don't want to hear my voice. You want to hear Mike finish his thought, huh? But you can't, because you don't have a subscription. You should go to therightstuff.biz/paywall. Tag it.
Backyard weddings and hospitals.
Right.
not just during Shock and Awe, but under the Obama administration.
They
more or less ignored that.
I'm trying to think of where I even saw that reported with any kind of outrage. I'm pretty sure it was only in libertarian publication. And a lot of times it was like kind of nauseating left libertarians that I couldn't stand would talk about that. And that's not true. Lou Rockwell would talk about that a lot, and he's very much right libertarian. But I know, like, you know, Obama was the scandal-free administration. That includes
essentially,
things like
yeah.
that. Yeah. So that includes like this sort of drone strike thing. Like only coup. I don't even think like the Hannity Limbaugh part of, because they like that. They're like, yeah, let's drone strike Brown fucking jihadists. Let's do it. Whoever Israel says.
They were overjoyed when Obama was attempting to drone strike the Middle East into a parking lot.
And then he did like the PlayStation assassination of Bin Laden, and now he's the hero. I don't know if you've ever saw that meme. He's sitting in that Situation Room where
I have.
And he's holding the PlayStation controller. Fucking great.
Yeah, I have. That's a good meme. That's a great one. Oh no, Obama's foreign policy, aside from the Iran deal, was virtually universally praised. And even then, the Iran deal, people kind of forget, there wasn't really that big of a stink over the Iran deal because the Republicans knew that they would just pull out of it immediately upon winning an election.
The Iran deal was too. It was a little too soft for them. There was no line in the sand or something. And then you got.
Well, they wanted to go to war with Iran.
Right.
They still want to go to war with Iran. Ron DeSantis wants to go to war with Iran.
Let's do it. That'll be so much fun. Oh, it's going to go swimmingly.
I don't think Anthony Blinken. Oh God, and all his co-ethnics are willing to, I don't think they're dumb enough to go to war with Iran, not least because there will be no domestic support for it. I mean, if they want to go to war with Iran, and I'm not making a threat, I'm making an observation, the Pentagon will probably be burned to the ground by a crowd of angry people.
Oh my God. Well, we know that like the one like Iranian operative in here, they just let her go. She's now blaming her motivations on Selma Hayek now. So I'm not even. You better have luck like moving against Selma Hayek now, like the one stabbing victim. You know, it's not about Soleimani. It's about From Dusk Till Dawn. Again, we'll have to repeat the entire show for James because he missed all that banter.
That's okay. It was funny when Alex, Alex messages me in the. You want to come on TDS? And I'm, didn't you pre-record this? We're in the process now. I'm like, shit, hold on.
Yeah, we're pre-recording it now. This is airing tomorrow.
We're pre-recording it now, but I'm late to the pre-recording.
That's true. I always think I'm a tough guy. We'll just do a two-man show. Just tough it out. We'll just grit our teeth.
No.
Clench our fists.
Two-man shows can be, unless you have a really good, like, for two-man shows, you have to do a ton of actual, like, proper prep.
You see, there's the problem.
You have to have, like, shit on the back burner.
I do have this really long email. I have this wall text email, the Stop the Steel Boomer Q thing, but, like, that's really just, like, that's just gonna work because it's going to take me a long time to read it. But we brought you in for some numerical analysis on 2020 versus 2024. Have you studied any polling towards 2024, or is that just like?
Oh yeah, actually, I have that up in a tab one of my many many tabs.
Because I'm interested in my theory that I feel like no one's really mentioning that Michigan and Wisconsin are never coming back for Trump. Probably not Pennsylvania either. And so anybody who's like, as I've noticed, I don't mean to call them out, but I've noticed like. If not Stryker, definitely Mike is kind of waffled on like I don't know that Trump can't win again, and I'm just saying like I'm basing it on that is like I say he just can't because of those three states.
Yeah, there was a epic MRA poll done. Yeah. Actually,
did you say MRA?
I don't know what the MRA is.
It's epic MRA. It's like a guy that eats like spoiled fucking fish and like. Sorry, go ahead.
Trump and Biden are tied in Michigan in this poll.
So that means okay.
They're tied in the Emerson College poll. They're tied in the Michael Research. Yeah, they're tied in virtually every poll. Biden leads in one of them. Trump leads in one of them, but I'd say of the seven I just looked at, they're tied in five of them.
Wow.
And Trump leads. Yeah, like, no, I don't think he's going to win. I don't think he's going to win back these Midwestern states. People just aren't enthusiastic. I mean, this is the other thing. No one is, like, enthusiastically talking about electoral politics. Everyone is like, right. I can't pay the bills. The price of groceries is through the roof. You're sending more money to Ukraine. Yeah. You people suck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think about what that poll result means, that he's tied in Michigan.
Do you guys remember?
What?
There was a point, because people always tend to do this kind of thing. There's a point where people are trying to say that you could leverage moral outrage over the election being stolen to, like, advance white nationalist politics. And I'm like, I very much doubt that.
What?
Yeah. I've seen this kind of argument.
I never ran into that, but
definitely remember seeing
it. It's one of these, it's a similar argument with COVID. Like, it's basically, these normies are fed up with their system. And it's like, they're always fed up with the system. Every American's fed up with the system. Always are.
But they're fed up. Number one, that's true. Everyone is fed up with the system. But the people who are doing COVID outrage and election outrage, they're fed up with the system from a position of liberalism. Like, you promised me freedom and liberal democracy and massive consumerism and, you know, pick your retarded doll election season, and you took it away. Like, that's outrage from the position of liberalism. I don't care.
I see these people as the same. They're doing the same sort of thing Trump would do. Like, they don't even care about that stuff. It's just a marketing thing. They think, oh, this is how we can get one over on the fudge round rubes. The fudge round rubes are fed up. Therefore, they're looking at, like, the illegitimacy of the system. And then it's like, what comes after that? Because it sounds like you're about to tell me to, like, go vote for Trump in 2024, and that's the solution, which it's not.
That's the ultimate. Yeah, I mean, that is the ultimate position, is go vote for Donald Trump. And
I wish he would win. I wish he would, because I would, like, have Donald Trump get in there and just totally just eat his balls again. It's what these people deserve, but unfortunately he's going to lose, so he's going to have the better option. This is what sucks about Trump. He's going to be able to keep crying that he was cheated in some way, and this is going to keep the cult of personality around him until he finally dies.
Yeah, know? I call him a constitutional monarch of his movement, essentially. I mean,
yeah, that makes sense.
You hear very few people talk about his individual actual politics or his administration, but the people who still love him as though they're his king. Like, oh, yes. My God, because he's a symbol to them.
Yeah. I've said it several times. He's a waste of a perfectly good cult of personality.
Yeah.
Which is what...
Yeah, that's essentially true. And anyone who isn't in the cult of personality is over him. There's the famous video. I wish I had it on hand. He had a campaign event in Florida, I'm pretty sure, where he was speaking about deporting every single illegal immigrant in this country, no exceptions. We're going to do it. Mm-hmm. And this, like, college-age kid is interviewed by the news and, like, well, what do you make of this? And the kid said, like, if he was serious about it, he would have done it when he had the office.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He could have done this anyway. He didn't do it anyway. Like, that is the feeling of a lot of people.
Right.
It's even people who aren't in our thing. And I don't know.
That's fair.
I just don't see a path for him to win an election.
I'm still reeling from the idea that he's tied in Michigan. It's like, how can I cope with this? Numbers don't lie, do they? Do early polling numbers when you're, like, more than a year out from the election matter? Am I going to be wrong?
Really, the tie to me is indicative that he's not going to win it.
Yes, generally, I'm just trying to remember how. See, I haven't really cared about electoral politics in so many years. I don't remember, like, how, like, Rush Limbaugh would cope with poll numbers. I remember it being like, well, if you've got if he used to have a rule of thumb, like, if you've got a tie, that means a Republican wins because the poor, oppressed, like, fucking underserved Republicans they're underrepresented in the polling to try to create, like, bad morale and depressed turnout.
No, when you get low turnout, Republicans tend to win.
Yeah, that's generally what it is.
Hold on, I'm going back to 2020.
Well, I know that they...
Yeah, they were...
I know
they
over,
were tied in 2020.
I know they...
I mean, Trump even led in a couple of these. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I know in 2016 that there was a polling error.
Oh, hey, Guy. Herschel here. Are you listening to a free fag episode of The Daily Shower? Do you need a small personal loan so you can afford a paywall subscription? I may be able to help you out. For the very low price of just $10 a month, you can listen to Mike finish his talking points without annoying promotional bits like this one. Log on to therightstuff.biz/paywall and pick the payment option that best suits your white man's agency level. E-checks, money order by mail, or cryptocurrency. Support TRS's efforts in shutting down yids like me.
In which Trump support was underestimated, was undercounted. It was underrepresented. I remember going into the midterms where like Jazz and Ethnarch and these people that were hoping for like these big Republican victories, big Trump Republican victories, really is what they were looking for, so he could get his agenda done. It was based on assuming the same polling error, and I remember Sean Last and Alt Hype being like, "Well, you see, you're not the only one that noticed the polling error, sort of the pollsters." So they've sort of adjusted their methods. And, so I'm wondering, like, this tie might really be a tie. Or are they weighing the two sides differently? So.
No, yeah. I mean, I think they corrected the polling error. As far as I remember, there was a whole report on this, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm looking at 2020 now in October.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a few of these Biden led big, you know, there's plus 14 here or plus 10 there, but I'm also looking at a tie, another tie, Biden up one. Here's one with Trump up three, Biden up by six. I mean, yeah, it seemed to buy Trump up by 12. Oh, but this is a Trump pack. Poll. No wonder he's up by 12. Yeah, I mean, I
looked at the polls. We did a poll. We did the best poll. We did the greatest poll. It's a tremendous poll. I have a huge lead.
I love the way he talks. I love he's amazing. Tremendous, super amazing, big, huge.
Trump pack. Like, we do polls.
No,
he's really good polls.
He's cut back on that, though.
The other guys, they do bad polls. It's the polls are very bad. They're atrocious. They're abysmal. It's just, you gotta, our poll is tremendous. Tremendous.
If you go on his campaign website now, he's really cut back on that. He still does like the hand gesture thing he's known for, but he does a lot of the sort of the bloviating wonderfulness is gone.
It's such a, like a simple rhetorical style, but it works. Like it
has, oh yeah, it infuriated people.
It's
just like
you memorize a thesaurus and you say the same thing like six times with a different fucking word. It's great and it's so funny. And you get to pad.
Hey everybody, Jordan Peterson here. I wrote a book about 12 rules for how to live your life, and I have a 13th rule for you. Subscribe to TRS. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and pick the payment option that best suits your needs.